As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
If you've been struggling with your weight, Mochi Health is here to help. Mochi Health is a long-term weight loss solution personalized to fit your unique needs and goals. Meet one-on-one with board-certified obesity doctors and registered dietitians who are on a mission to listen. Eligible patients can access custom-formulated GLP-1 medications at an affordable set price and get them delivered to their home each month. Take our free quiz at joinmochi.com and use code AUDIO40 at checkout for $40 off your first month of membership.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro plus tax. For a limited time and subject to change. Max 1 offer per account.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Nerd Talk, talking about Nerd Talk, yeah!
Hi there, welcome to an all-new season of Nerd Talk Plus. And by season, I mean it's just a new year, so I started a new folder, so it's a new season. It's our weekly deeper dive into the stories that make this world nerdier. From Odyssey's Nerd Talk, I'm your host, Gregor, and he's used to work here, now he doesn't. I even asked if you could get paid the other day, and they said no. So, Brandon.
I appreciate that, but also, what? Come on, man.
They were like, hey, where's your episode for this week, last week? And I was like, you going to pay the guy to work on a holiday? And they just didn't get back to me. And I was like, okay, cool.
Yeah, so, okay.
Neither of us is a scientist, engineer, or supervillain. One of us was paid. Let us, if you are one of those things, specifically paid, let us know what we get wrong, or perhaps even what we get right.
Which is hardly ever anything. I do want to say, like, often we'll tell you to, sometimes if we remember to do our jobs correctly, we'll say you should go follow us on Twitter and in social media of all sorts, and then we'll always chuck in an OnlyFans reference there, which, like, neither of us has an OnlyFans, and neither, and, like, corporately, we also don't have an OnlyFans. However, as I was talking about it, our good buddy and sometimes host of this show, Siege, sent me a link to his OnlyFans, and I was like, okay, this could go two ways. This could either just be him putting premium joke content behind a paywall. The realistic option is probably that he created it as a joke. But if I subscribe, am I going to see pictures of his because probably.
Mark that. you should see the picture of the Dolphins sunglasses that he was wearing when I hung out with him in August. It is definitely two bungholes, one on each eye cover. So he has... It just came up on my phone the other day. It was really, I don't know if tickled is the right word, but we'll just go with tickled.
I just don't like the word tickled in the context of talking about experiences with Siege.
Anyway, if you could write us a review and tell us, you know, how you're feeling about this, it helps helps promote the show and move it forward or whatever. In fact, we have a review.
We got a new review from Jaime Joshi. It looks like Yoshi, but with a J. So I'm going to call her Joshi. They say, more Siege. Well, there you go. They don't pay me, so They're just going to replace me.
With someone else that we don't pay.
Yeah.
Hey, I love that. I'm glad that we just spent like 5 minutes talking about Siege before this, so that's good. Yeah. I hadn't seen the review, so that's really cool.
I'm kind of nerdy and I like to talk, so obviously this is a perfect podcast for me. She says some nice stuff, and then they say, as a Florida woman, it's great to hear Florida's greatest export other than citrus fruit, square grouper, which I'm not sure what that is, and Burt Reynolds, which I had no idea he was from Florida. It's great to hear Florida's greatest export, Siege, on the podcast. I hope he becomes a more regular contributor. If you're looking for smart, funny, and nerdy, this pod has you covered. And I'm going to just go ahead and add the, if you just delete the smart part of that, then this pod has you covered.
A square grouper is a fish, right?
Is it?
I mean, a grouper is a fish.
Sure. Is a square grouper a square fish?
I'm guessing it's some sort of
like a little bit nervous to Google it because I'm just assuming it's going to be like
square grouper bar and grill. Thing. Yeah, okay. No, I mean it's for sure. We're about to see Siege's balls right now.
A square grouper, a set of bales of marijuana or blocks of cocaine packed in plastic. Okay, that's probably what they meant.
And sometimes thrown overboard a boat. Okay.
Oh, okay. So it is a square fish, full of cocaine.
Oh, cocaine is about to debut.
As we learned the last week, if a dolphin were going to take cocaine, it would have to snort it through its blowhole.
See, we are smart. Don't sell yourself short.
Yeah.
Now, Brandon, I want to start off the... Like, I spent pretty much the entire holidays just curious about ChatGPT.
Okay.
Are you familiar with it?
No, it sounds like a crypto that you're going to try to sell me on, but I'm buying, so let's go.
It's a fintech, so get out your money. Now, ChatGPT is a thing that was made using OpenAI.
Yeah.
And it's an artificial intelligence that effectively, you ask it a question, it scours the internet and writes you back a response, like as if a human were writing it to you, but it uses the knowledge of the, I guess, probably both reliable and unreliable sources. So let's say you're like me and you want to better understand how relativity works. You get an account on ChatGPT for free and you say, explain relativity to me. And then it does it gives you, you know, a lot and I don't understand any of it. Then I say, explain it as if I was 5. And then it does a better job of it. And I say, okay, that's still too much. I say, in 200 words, explain relativity to me as if I was 5. And it's like, oh, okay. And so it does it. And it can, like, you can control the type of information you want as if you were talking to a person. And it's a wild ride. I saw a guy in the nutrition industry, which is, if you're not certified, you should stop spreading bad nutritional info. But he was like, you can use ChatGPT to meal plan. And you just give it the parameters. I don't want any sugars. I can't have carrots. I don't want meat or carbs. Meal prep for me for a 2,000 calorie day, 3 meals a day for a week. And it'll generate everything. You can ask it to make shopping lists and how to instructions for cooking and stuff. And it goes and it scours the internet for the best information to give back to you. It's like a Google.
I was going to say, this is like what Google Assistant and Alexa and all of those things wish they were, it sounds like.
Yeah, it's wild. And so what's happening is at like the high school and maybe even college level, people are like, I got to write
a book report.
5-page essay about the, you know, Red Cloud Indian Agency of 1790 or whatever it is, you know, or maybe it's 1890, I bet. This is what I literally studied for a senior project in college. So great job.
what?
You could tell it. I know, right? Isn't that wild? I studied the indigenous people and how the U.S. government how poorly Boned treated them.
Yeah.
And my specific area was the Sioux tribes Red Cloud Agency.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, it's crazy. I learned a ton also, which was really cool. So when that whole Keystone Pipeline thing was happening, I was like, oh boy, I've like learned about kind of the general people of this area and how mad they must be. Is like,
yeah, it seems like you retained
again,
a lot as you can't even remember what year it came out.
I just don't like. To me, it seems like 1790 was too long ago. Did we have locomotives back then? Was that like a thing?
Like 1790 was like only a few years after the Revolutionary War. So I feel like...
Yeah, so it was 1890, right?
Yeah, it must have been, right? That's kind of how that's kind of how my entire like frame of reference works. American
when
history.
When was the last time I could have owned a slave?
Or after? Exactly. Now that I live in Spokane, the answer varies here.
Yeah, so it's like Red Cloud Agency was established in 1871 on the North Platte River near Fort Laramie in Wyoming, says history.sd.gov.
Chat GPT and tell it to explain to me the Red Cloud Agency as if I were Gregor.
I asked it to tell me about Nerd Talk, and it was like, I'm sorry, I don't know about that. And I was like, of course. How dare you? Like, give me something. I'll look something up that, like, I have an account or whatever.
Ask it how a dolphin would smoke pot.
How would a dolphin smoke pot in 200 words?
Calculating.
In 100 words.
It's like,
let's see what it does.
I would love to see ChatGPT have to, You have to write a 5-page paper, but you feel like you can get all your ideas out in 3, so you have to make up 2 full pages of information. ChatGPT is like, I could tell you in like 1 sentence, how am I going to fill out the rest of these 200 words? Like, I want to see how AI fills, you know? Like, hey, AI, ChatGPT, Kings of Leon isn't quite ready to come out yet. Could you do the next 5 minutes?
And do it about the Red Cloud Indian Agency. Yeah. It's like, well, Chief Red Cloud.
And do it in the form of Muse.
I mean, but like, that's the weird thing is that when you say that part of it, I don't think we're that far away from them being able to be like in the style of.
Yeah. And you know, it's like, this reminds me of of all of the AI or examples of AI in fictional media, right? Like in movies and stuff like that. Like one of the ones that I've always seen as being the most cool was Jarvis, like Iron Man or, you know, Tony Stark's a virtual assistant, right? That is played by the dude
Paul Bettany.
Yeah, Paul Bettany. Yeah. So Jarvis is always cool because it just felt like Tony Stark was always just having a conversation with the dude, and like he was able to have inflection and emotion and things like that in response, right? And so like that kind of seems like where this is getting much closer to, rather than like my personal home device that I use not being able to turn off the goddamn timer every time I'm trying to tell it, like, it's like, hey, your bread is done, and I'm like, I know, I've already taken it out of the damn oven
and I've already told you 5 times, stop it.
Yeah.
So an error occurred.
Oh, great.
Versus, so tell me about Chief Red Cloud in 100 words. See if it can do it. Save and submit. Cloud, 1822 to 1909, was a Native American leader of the Oglala Lakota tribe. He's best known for his role in the Plains Indian Wars, specifically the Red Clouds War of 1866, in which he led his people in a successful campaign against the United States government. The conflict resulted in the signing of the Fort Laramie Treaty, which granted the Lakota Territory and the Powder River country in Wyoming and Montana. Red Cloud is remembered as a skilled diplomat and military strategist and is considered one of the most influential Native American leaders of the 19th century. So, like, that's, like, legit writing that I would have done as a college senior.
It's interesting, though, because, like, in one of my previous jobs, one of the things that we researched and looked at a lot was how bias can make its way even into artificial intelligence, where you feel like as long as the data that goes into the AI is unbiased, right? Say if it has access to the entire internet, it's going to have access to quote unquote both sides, although there are obviously many sides to everything, right?
Yeah.
But like thinking about how it ultimately at the end of that, what's interesting to me is like it's not necessarily what I would call a hot take for this ChatGPT to make, to say this is how he will be remembered as a blah, blah, blah. But that is making an assumption about like how people will think about this, right? And so it is, it's, it is making somewhat of a insertion of not just fact, but also like a little bit of subjectivity, which I think is kind of crazy, because it's like it is only as good and it is only as able to output the kind of data that it takes in. So whatever data that it's using to make an output that like this is how he will be remembered as a skilled warrior and blah blah blah, it's just interesting to me, because like someday the Predator is going to be on Earth and it's going to use ChatGPT to ask about Red Cloud, and it's going to he will be remembered as a skilled warrior, and the Predator is going to look at that and like, no, he's not. Like, I could kick his ass.
Let's bring him back to life so I can fight him.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's fascinating, because like one of the big, just to your point, I just had to take a bias training for work, and to your point, it's Chief Red Cloud was a Native American leader of Oglala Lakota tribe. I just saw someone else being like, don't call us American, we're pre-America, like call us is it Dene or something like that, it's I can't remember what the word is, but it's like, you can call us indigenous, but don't call us Native American, call us Native, because American is like you putting your stuff on us. And I'm like, oh, that's interesting. Yeah. Okay, I hadn't considered it that way. And I'm like, I said, Indian Agency. I'm like, I don't think, I'm from New Mexico. There's a ton of people that still call themselves Indian for the purpose of selling wares, like silver and turquoise and stuff, right? But like, that's the name of the agency, is the Red Cloud Indian Agency. It's not like a thing that I'm labeling them with or whatever. Yeah, but that's still bias or whatever. And so you're right. Also, to think that there's ever going to be bias-free is insane, because the human mind processes like data. Like you get, I saw a thing. It was like you get 14 million points of data per day on average, and your brain is only capable of processing 40 of them.
Wow!
Like in terms, or like so, some like ridiculous number like that, right? Like where you're like you're only able to really think about so few things while you're constantly being bombarded by data, and the bias is what fills the gap. And so, like, there's no way you'll ever be able to not do that. And then just reference, like, the literal 200,000 years of humans just murdering and raping each other to, like, you know, to see that that's the case. Yeah, it's crazy, dude. Anyway, yeah, it's I'm fascinated by this. The thing that really makes me mad, though, I was reading today about some dork that, like, God, what a dork. He wrote a ChatGPT checker. So that way you can detect whether or not someone is using ChatGPT to generate answers for homework, like for writing assignments and stuff.
I read a headline this morning. I didn't realize what it was related to, was like schools, like a certain school or a set of schools or like a state school district or something like that had said that they were banning ChatGPT from like being used in either in use for doing your homework or obviously doing your homework for you and stuff.
Yeah, even if you block it on school computers or whatever, like good luck.
Yeah, right. Like I still played hella Pokemon and saw lots of boobs on computers at school. and it's funny to me, because it's like, okay, so ChatGPT, so there's this AI, and then somebody wrote a checker to be able to like curb the use of the AI, which means that the AI will just get better at like avoiding that checker, which means that checker will have to get better, and then we're just looking at like a robot war, but everybody's just trying to like catch who's cheating to do their book report. And it's like, this is like the highest and most functional use for AI, is to like make sure kids don't like lie about how much they understood the symbolism in Great Gatsby. It's like, no, like let's use it for, I don't know, like let's use it for what we're supposed to use technology for, which is killing people in other countries.
Please, thank you, someone who gets it. God. I just think about the teachers that I had, my own mother, for instance, and like the people, and they're just so tired all the time. You could not tell me that like 90% of the teachers, random number, are going to like go home and double check to make sure ChatGPT isn't writing the things for their kid. Like what a bunch of crap. Just like if you get the symbolism of the Great Gatsby right, you 11th grader or whatever, like, and it's ChatGPT, who cares?
Yeah.
It's not even the same. Like, I wonder if it's how different it actually is now that we've gone through the information age. Like, I wonder are the necessity for us to learn pointless knowledge.
Because
we have it all in our pocket.
Kind of what you're saying is like the way that the school district or whatever it was had said that the reason, like some of the reason that they use it said is because it is antithetical to creating or helping students with critical thinking. They're like, we don't care necessarily whether or not they understood the book or they understood this there or that. It's the fact that they attempt to understand it. They attempt to do the research. They attempt to do this or that and the other. It's like it, but to me, like that argument right now kind of makes sense, but so did the argument that you're not going to have a calculator in your pocket when you're, you know, an adult and you need to do the math. It's like, well, idiot. Yes, I do. And we're
5 steps beyond that now. It's like now right. You have a thing that can actually, you know, you have an AI that can actually design the bridge. You don't need right. The engineers anymore except to double check to pretend like we're get more safety out of double checking the robot's work or whatever.
Yeah, and making sure that the robot didn't design the bridge to collapse at the most ideal moment to kill the most humans.
Execute Order 66.
Execute Order Bridge T Bridge.
I'll put it this way. I think we're going to see a massive increase in the focus on social emotional education because that's the only place where you just extrapolate this 5 years from now. Like, are you going to be able to assign a writing project to somebody?
It seems I'm not like making attempting not to make a comment on like the educational system or culture or anything like that. But ultimately, like it seems like as a society shifts or hopefully shifts away from where how much money you have being the value of a person, right? Like obviously money and
how many robots do you have?
And money and resources are still obviously incredibly important to like basic necessities, such as it's like, yeah, you can live comfortably in the United States on a certain salary, but like what that money could do to lift a group of people out of poverty somewhere else is like I'm not saying that money doesn't and shouldn't be used, but ultimately like this idea that if we're just trying to create and teach children to become more and more able to produce capital versus like able to enjoy life and to like live joyful moments throughout their life, right? Like obviously like it sounds ideal and it sounds kind of like, oh well, you're not thinking about the real world, which is like there's supply and demand and there's resources and there's capital and all these things. It's like, yes, all of that makes sense, but the point of creating technology, the point of like advancing and progressing as a society, is to be able to like free people up to do more of the things that humans enjoy and like want to do and like live out as people, right? Rather than work to make money to be able to not die, right? So yeah. I think that to your point, which probably isn't the point you were making, but what I hear is like, yeah, we should be focusing more on like, okay, let's all of the basic stuff is taken care of because we created the robots to do it. What do we do with the rest of that time? How do we bring up a society of children after that like are learning how to like do practical skills and enjoy the world rather than, you know, like how do you just become a lawyer so you can make hundreds of thousands of dollars, right?
Well, and it's like with the computer chips, you know, there's such a small margin of gain for the amount of investment that happens. They're not developing this. If there's a law, whatever that law is called, where you reach kind of like the end of it before you invent the next type of computer.
Sure, yeah.
And it's like diminishing returns, is that what it is?
Yeah.
And it's like at some point, we're going to push everybody to this point where like it doesn't make sense to work so hard because the gain that you get from putting it in is only marginally better than not doing it, because we will have reached a part where we just can't advance more until there's another huge like breakthrough.
Until so, like, another maybe, giant black obelisk appears in the desert.
God, finally. The dinosaurs that dance around it. I can't wait, man. Yeah, it's really interesting because I worry, like there's two things I see it, like there's like the AI and the, and people that study this always get real mad because we give it more credit than it deserves is always the common thing that I get back. It's like, you don't understand how basic AI is. And I'm like, I mean, it can literally meal plan for me based on insane things or whatever. That's like not advanced. And my car can like my Subaru can keep me between the lanes and from smashing into somebody without me being awake. Like, yeah. that's pretty,
yeah,
that's pretty cool too. Like, yeah. So like I think there's going to be a breakthrough. And at some point then like our own human capacity is not going to be able to keep up with the development of the machines. And so we're going to have to turn to something that gives us actual pleasure.
Yeah. Like, it's going to expose a lot of people's lack of, value system, right? Like, because people are so like, society talk, philosophy talk, yeah.
Whatever,
like,
man.
People are going to have more time. Like, the goal of technology or like the eventuality of it is going, people are going to have more time to figure out what to do with, like, how do I occupy my facilities? Like, how do I apply this brain that I have that maybe is only capable of X amount of data, whatever you said it was earlier, like, is only capable of a certain amount of like actual function and actual work, but you have to find something for it to do, right? And like, having a 40-hour a week job or more or less, like, is enough to keep people distracted and feeling entertained, and you don't have to think about what you do with your time because you're just thinking about the thing that you're doing, right? So it's like, okay, you take that away, what's your value? Where do you spend your time? What do you do? And like, that's gonna, rather than feeling freed, I feel like more of humanity and more of like American society particularly is going to feel exposed, because it's going to expose exactly how maybe wasteful or like lazy we are, right? And because we've never had to think about it.
My big concern is that, like with everything else, I just always think about StarCraft for some reason.
Yeah.
And I have a reason. is that whoever can harvest the resources the fastest is who's in charge. And like, whatever you want to call that, if it's like George W. Bush trying to find weapons of mass destruction, and so he has to invade the Middle East, not for the oil, definitely, the people who control the entirety of our economy. You know, like, when you start seeing who controls what and the fights that have been going for that for forever, or who has the most fish, or whatever it is, like who has the shelter, and you're just fighting over these resources. Like, once you realize that, whoever owns the AI continues to increase the gap, because the AI will be capable of doing more and holding us down even more. And so, like, I think not only do we potentially have more time on our hands to just be like, what is freedom? But like, also, we won't have anything because it'll continue to be gobbled up by the like small percentages, because they're the ones that control the things that do everything. And that's like, to me, that's pretty terrifying. You know, the transition to cleaner energy doesn't happen until the old energy people have the infrastructure to transfer into it, because they're not going to give up their power.
Not until like the people currently making billions of dollars on oil realize that they can make billions of dollars on, you know, insert green energy here, right?
Yeah, just whatever it is, it just like whatever is the thing of the day that is the power that controls the humans. That's the transition that they have to make. Is they have to figure out a way to like, what controls us right now? It's oil. So I got to have the oil if I want to be in control. And now we're moving into something else. Well, I'm going to do that. Is it space mining? Sure. So whatever that is, AI, whoever owns the AI is going to own the humans. And it's always been that way. And the difference is that I think we're sort of getting back to this, and I don't have any data to back this up, you know, but like to the notion of like the kings and the fiefs,
yeah.
And the peasants, and like the fewer people have more. And so they'll have more of an opportunity to have control. It's nuts.
Can I make a small suggestion?
Yeah.
We just hand it all over to Paul Bettany and see what happens.
I mean, he was in Wimbledon, and I loved
him.
He's
in everything. Do you remember Knight's Tale?
No, of course I remember Knight's Tale.
A movie you've seen. My God. Woo! Stop the podcast.
All right. Talk to you next time.
Yeah. He's in that. It's he's in The Replacements with Keanu. The guy has been in everything.
That's incredible. So interesting, because I don't think about him being in anything, you know? He's just one of those actors.
He's like pre-Andy Serkis. He's like the Andy Serkis before Andy Serkis.
Who's the other guy that plays
Commissioner Gordon and the guy
Gary Oldman.
Yeah, another guy that's like...
Yeah, in everything. Because that guy is a chameleon, even though I feel like in everything now, he just looks like, because he's so famous at this point, he just looks like Gary Oldman in a fat suit, or Gary Oldman dressed as a vampire, or Gary Oldman with a mustache, you know? It's just like...
But the character he plays in The Fifth Element, it's
yeah,
radically different person. Yeah. But that was 25 years ago or whatever.
Yeah, he looks like... what is the vampire movie that he was in? Oh, the Dracula, the original Dracula movie where Bram Stoker, right? Is that what the
Bram Stoker?
When
Bram Stoker?
Bram Stoker. There we go. That's that version of Gary Oldman. I think that his Fifth Element.
I didn't know he was in
was
that.
Just skinny version of his Dracula character.
Hey, congratulations to the bees. First, we introduced pesticides, and then...
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need. This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out, procrastination, putting it off, kicking the can down the road. In, plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, carpet in the bathroom. Like, why? In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
Like diseases and everything to them, right? Now we're going to vaccinate the bees against the harm we've been doing.
5GBs will be the new conspiracy theory.
Wait, 5BGs?
As long as my cell service improves,
stay alive.
Stop the show. We don't have to go any further. That was amazing. As long as my cell service improves with the 5GBs every spring, I am all in. I guess what they're going to do is they want to feed the queen something that then will make all her little drone babies immune to the something called the American foul brood bacteria that whoops their little bee butts, and just is another challenge for the bees' survival. So we introduce that and help them, I don't know, survive a little bit better. Mm. And it seems, I dated this woman back in the 2000s. And she was a game and fish person for the state we lived in, right? And her job was to go into ponds, and she gets a big electric wand like they would fight the Jedi with, you know? And she would stab it into the water, and then all of a sudden all the fish would be bloop, and they'd come up and they'd be electrocuted, and they'd float up to the top, right? Not dead, just electrocuted. And then she would 1, 2, 7, 8, 5, you know, count them all. Yeah. And then she would look for the invasive ones and remove those and just murder them or whatever, I think. I can't remember. But it was the rainbow trout was the invasive to the native Apache trout, I think is what it was. And so they would just go in and they would just kind of play God and just be like, well, we'll just murder all these fish. And I'm like, that's kind of not on you. What's done is done. And you deciding to kill these fish doesn't mean that the other fish get brought back the right way or yeah. How can you ensure that what you're doing, has the environment changed so much for them that they can, the ecosystem, that they can no longer thrive the way that they need to? There's too many factors for you to just pick one thing and be like, that's that. But then the other less minor key version of myself, more major key version is little things add up to make big things. And so if you come in here and try and save the bees with this one thing, there might be consequences from it, but at least we're making, right now we're just doing all negative things.
And so marginal gains is kind of the idea, right? You do one small thing, and if you do a bunch of small things, hopefully it adds up to the big thing that you need to do.
Or hopefully it just stops the momentum of the bad things, I think is a much more practical way of looking at it. I don't think we're going to turn around climate change. I think that ship has sailed. You're not going to resurrect the, 3 million species that have been extincted by us in the last 100 years or whatever.
Are you saying that your ex-girlfriend, though, was involved in a Ponzi scheme?
Get the... You are so fired from the job.
I feel
you don't
pay for. The job that I don't get paid for. Yeah. I guess that the sequel to the B movie is just going to kind of be what was the movie with Will Smith where he's at the I Am Legend, right? It's just going to be one.
Just Jerry.
Yeah, it's just one B, just Jerry Seinfeld in I Am Legend 2, but it's just a bunch of bees that have been turned into zombies, and oh man, this is bees lend themselves.
And then you know what the worst part is that when he goes online, he can't find any other bees on Bumble. Yes,
just two fathers on a podcast,
just practicing. Now, Ring Doorbells demoed their game changer in the home monitoring security system world. And I am a creep, so I obviously walk around my neighborhood walking my dog. And there is I don't want to be inappropriate because I'm not trying to let my unconscious bias show or whatever. This is conscious bias.
choosing to be racist.
There is a group of foreign people that live in my neighborhood specifically, and it has enriched my life, and I appreciate it so much. The one thing that I notice is that when one of them finds a deal on something, they all adopt it. I remember one year I was walking the dog around the neighborhood, or the kid, or whatever, and there was 6 television boxes for the same TV that I later learned was on sale at Costco. And so one family found it, and then 5 other families bought it as well, and that's only the ones I saw, you know? And so they have this tendency for that. Well, the Ring doorbell and the annoying Ring doorbell noise is something that more than 2/3 of my neighborhood has. It's 40-something houses, and there's whatever that number is, I can't remember. But I was like, wow, there's 2/3 of the people here all have the same doorbell camera. So Ring demoed their next security system, and I like am so interested to see how this will go and if it'll be adopted the same way. The next big offering is a patrol drone that can fly around and monitor your home. Seems very creepy. And at first I wasn't sure. It's from CES that was debuted last week. And at first I was like, is it fly around the exterior with like lasers and blast us or what? And like, no, it flies around the inside to make sure everything is okay. And my two thoughts were like, my awful dog is definitely going to like destroy it and chew it up. And I'm going to come home and be like, well, at least we have footage of the dog attacking him. That'll be awesome. And that, could I program it to protect my plants from my dumb cat that eats all my plants? Like a little set lasers like to stun and...
You're going to have to start walking around your house like servers walk around a restaurant, like every time you come around the stairs, because you're a tall guy, and so it doesn't matter how tall this drone like flies. You have to come around the stairs and be like, corner! And the drone is going to have to be like, sorry.
I also would imagine it with a tray with drinks on it for some reason.
Yeah. Corner? Isn't the problem that has made like drone delivery, they tested drone delivery in like New Zealand or Australia or something like that, somewhere where there's a lot of space for it to go down in case it didn't work, right? And these, the drone, like the biggest problem was, is that all of the neighbors, anytime a delivery got made, were like, it is so loud. Drones generate, even those tiny little drones that like, that kids fly for personal use, right? Like those make so much noise because they have to spin those quadcopters so quickly in order to stay afloat. And so like that, it just seems like until they fix that problem, drones won't be viable in any way that where it's like a constant or persistent thing around your house, right? Like a Roomba makes noise, but it's only for a few minutes every time it goes and vacuums your, you know, cat puke.
But it just drags it around the room. But it's like, that's less loud than a vacuum, right?
Right.
And so like a drone is not less loud than a delivery truck, except for when the doors slam, I guess, or whatever. Right. I saw one of the Amazon Rivian electric delivery trucks yesterday. It was cool, man. It looked really neat. I don't know if that's the future or not because they take so long to recharge, but I guess you do it overnight and it's cool. But yeah, like the drone is truly, Star Wars is once again fantastic because the idea of the repulsor lift, which somehow operates without, you know, you can hover without having like spinning engines and stuff. That's pretty rad to think.
Yeah.
Hopefully there's a future where we have stuff that hovers, not because it's a drone with quadcopters or whatever. It's not a FPV, you know, drone for racing or whatever. It's just like a little...
Using magnets or something like that in order to...
Yeah, like the opposite, like pushing off of the Earth somehow using gravitational reversal or something, you know, just to like fly around without making a ton of noise. That's what it's going to take. I think
it's interesting that drones... Like, if we're going to look at Star Wars for a, if you watch Star Wars, the way that they patrol everything, except for, like, the recon drone that, like, goes around and, like, probes people's brains, except for those, there aren't really a lot of flying robots or droids in Star Wars. What I would rather see is the little mouse droids or the gonk droids bebopping around my house trying to like... There also aren't a lot of stairs in Star Wars, in case you haven't watched recently. It's because after the Stair Wars were the Star Wars.
Oh, kid, now you ruined it.
No, but like... It's interesting. Like, I live in a 120 year old house, right? And I found a gun in my wall once.
Yeah.
What you realize is that over time, over those 100 years, the way that people live has changed so much, and so like the original construction of this house has had to be adapted and changed and remodeled so many times in order to like make a normal family in 2023 be able to live in it comfortably, right? Like
give me an example, because like I think about this too, and I'm like, is it like closets are too small. That's like a
some
thing.
Of it's
so much more
some
crap.
Of it's just style choices, right? Like some of it is just like the open house versus having walls friggin' everywhere, right? Some of it is just like where the entryway was into the house was in a like a really weird spot, or where the way that they didn't use basements for anything other than like that's where the guns go, or like that's where the, you know, so
no,
the way
come
that,
on now the walls is where the guns go.
Or how about even the fact that like stairs had so much less headroom because 100 years ago statistically people were shorter, right?
You do
like,
not have to tell me about that. It is the worst part.
You can't, if you ever come and stay with me, you cannot go into my basement, if you know what I mean. No, the
you might shoot a gun at me, or
but the reason I bring that up is because newer construction houses are built so differently. Some of it's obviously aesthetic and things like that, but some of it is just to accommodate for the way that we live now. One of the examples that I have is like, do you know what radon is? It's like a radiation gas that is emitted from some sort of element in the that naturally occurs in the Earth's crust and can be bad for you if it's inhaled for a lot of time. It's undetectable except for with a specific instrument, right? Like, but they've created these mitigation things that people strap onto the sides of their houses, where if you live in a radon rich area, where it will mitigate all of that radon, but it's a huge pipe on the side of your house. While new construction homes, I'm going to bring this all back, don't worry, new construction homes are built with often radon, like it's hidden in the wall. So it's like, yes, you have the mitigation system, but it, because we know about it, it's built into the house, right?
Yeah.
What I'm saying is like, if these drones ever become more desirable or more prominent in people's homes, and the only way to make them happen is to like all the old homes have to be retrofit with magnetic floors or with a type of element in the floor that makes the repulsor lift available, right? Or like the way that they build a ramp so that the little gonk droid can drive up the stairs, you know, whatever it is. It's like, it's the way that technology changes infrastructure is really interesting to me, because like in the future, homes and offices and buildings and streets and things like that are going to be built different to accommodate the way that we're using personal technology now.
Yeah, like the pneumatic tubes at the bank were my favorite thing as a kid, and I hate that they're gone now, but there's like no purpose for them anymore because it's all done on a machine outside.
Yeah. So, I mean, think about the way that like self-driving cars, if that ever becomes the... more.
Yeah, the biggest problem with that is infrastructure, for sure.
Yeah, it's because it's roads.
Yeah, you got to be able to, where we're going, but you have to be able to have areas where you don't have the weirdness of humans interacting in order for self-driving cars to be their most efficient, and that's just like, that's not going to happen.
One of the movies, again, even though it might seem unlikely, one of the movies that got, like, I think all of this infrastructure really, like, they did it really well. Like, they actually assumed if this is what technology does, here's how infrastructure it will change, was iRobot. If you ever go back and watch that, like, the way, if you look at it from an infrastructure perspective, the way that like they do the roads differently, where everything is underground, and if you're driving like a gasoline vehicle, because it's incredibly dangerous because they can explode because they're combustible, right? Like, how if you take that on a road where all of the self-driving and electronic cars are going, it just like can wreak chaos, especially if you're Will Smith trying to like battle a bunch of robots.
With
so
robot
let's
arm.
Keep Will Smith out of the future.
Yeah, both scenarios have not been great.
Yeah.
From Jerry Seinfeld Smith to that. That's not great. I have two things, and then I gotta go. One of them is congrats on gonna be a dad for the second time. That's wild. Yeah. You must be super nervous about that. I'm sure that the $3 that this show pays you will be really helpful.
Did I tell you I also got a cat? So now I'm gonna have two dogs, two kids, and a cat.
Might as well get a second cat, dude. What are you doing? You don't have balance right now.
Yeah.
Two adults. What kind of cat you get, by the way?
I don't know. It's like he's tiny, and he's like the most lovable, cuddly. He farts like the worst farts I've ever smelled in my entire life, but like, but everything else about him's great.
Secondly, in 2020,
send you a picture.
Yeah, please. In 2023, I really want to get I really want to read books. I listen to audiobooks a lot. Well, first of all, depression has been a real hard one for me this year, this last year. And so, like, for the last 6 months of the year, I couldn't do anything but listen to metal. And it's like, and like, sad Radiohead. And so, like, I'm trying to kind of force my way through it, as one does. And I want some really good science fiction in order to... Oh my God, that cat's cute. I want some really good science fiction to read. I need something that's like easy to read, but good and captivating. And I don't want it to be something that I listen to on like on an audiobook while I'm walking the dog. I need something that I can spend 20 minutes a night reading before I fall asleep. So if you have a recommendation for that and you're listening right now, or you're Brandon, let me know. I just bought something, I can't even remember what it's called, by Adrian Tchaikovsky. It's like Children of Something or whatever, and that's supposed to be really good, but it's like world building and everything, and I just need, I really need my imagination to come back, because I'm having a difficult time with my reality. And so, yeah, if you have something good that you could recommend, I'd be really grateful. At Hey Gregor, at Brandon MG, he spells it Brandon, D-E-N, just so you know. Follow us both if you would, and tweet at us, or talk to us, or leave us a review, or whatever it is. Now, Brandon, did you learn anything today? What did you learn today? It's that part of the show.
I learned that we're going to basically ruin the bees.
Yeah, no matter what we do, feels like it might already be a little too far down the road.
Gregor, what did you learn this week?
I learned that the thing that I learned 15 years ago is Chief Red Cloud was a indigenous leader of the Oglala Lakota tribe in 1891. Is when that was set up, and so not 1791, a mere few years after the Declaration of Independence. So. Anything else you got there, Brandon?
Yeah, I learned that of all of the technology that exists in Star Wars, like you could think of like the lightsabers, the deaths. I mean, even the Death Star, from a technological standpoint, is
dope.
Pretty incredible. Like, think about the I already said lightsabers, all of like the Star Destroyer, like everything in of all of the technology that exists across the universe in the Star Wars universe, I suppose. The thing that I want the most is apparently a gonk droid
or a mouse droid for your cat,
or a mouse droid.
I remember reading this recently that you would need like 7 trillion tons of TNT in order to blow up the moon with a laser. So like the Death Star is even, that's the moon or small planet, that's like even more impressive than you could ever imagine. So
yeah, wow.
All right, well, I hope it shoots me first. Listen to Nerd Talk Tuesday mornings, 10 a.m. here on this platform, or by this platform, I mean the Odyssey app. I don't know why I said that. Or listen to us as a podcast, wherever you get your podcast, preferably the Odyssey app, because that's what my work tells me to say, because Brandon can say whatever he wants. They're not paying him. But
I think you should leave us a review and tell us why you're actually happy and not secretly miserable.
Or admit that you're secretly miserable and that I'm right.
You're my favorite aioli.
Instacart is on a mission to have you not leave the couch this basketball season. Because between the pregame rituals and the postgame interviews, it can be difficult to find time for everything else. So let Instacart take care of your game day snacks or weekly restocks and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Because we hear it's bad luck to be hungry on game day. So download the Instacart app today and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first 3 orders. Service fees apply for 3 orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes. which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
Baseball's number one digital destination is the MLB app. And this app's got game, like game highlights, live games, fantasy games, and more.
The gem of a game!
This is baseball your way, with stats, scores, breaking news, and daily custom content that hits every time.
A monster shot!
Because here, you choose the teams and pick the players you want to follow.
All year long!
So when they catch it on the field,
what a catch!
You catch it on the MLB app. Download today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I have two things, and then I gotta go. One of them is congrats on gonna be a dad for the second time. That's wild. Yeah. You must be super nervous about that. I'm sure that the $3 that this show pays you will be really helpful.
Did I tell you I also got a cat? So now I'm gonna have two dogs, two kids, and a cat.
Might as well get a second cat, dude. What are you doing? You don't have balance right now.
Yeah.
Two adults. What kind of cat you get, by the way?
I don't know. It's like he's tiny, and he's like the most lovable, cuddly. He farts like the worst farts I've ever smelled in my entire life, but everything else about him is great.
Secondly, in 2020,
I'll send you a picture.
Yeah, please. In 2023, I really want to read books. I listen to audiobooks a lot. Well, first of all, depression has been a real hard one for me this last year. And so like for the last 6 months of the year, I couldn't do anything but listen to metal. And it's like, and like sad Radiohead. And so like, I'm trying to kind of force my way through it as one does. And I want some really good science fiction in order to, oh my God, that cat's cute. I want some really good science fiction to read. I need something that's like easy to read, but good and captivating. And I don't want it to be something that I listen to on like on an audiobook while I'm walking the dog. I need something that I can spend 20 minutes a night reading before I fall asleep. So if you have a recommendation for that and you're listening right now, or you're Brandon, let me know. I just bought something, I can't even remember what it's called, by Adrian Tchaikovsky. It's like Children of Something or whatever, and that's supposed to be really good. But it's like world building and everything, and I really need my imagination to come back because I'm having a difficult time with my reality. And so, if you have something good that you could recommend, I'd be really grateful. At Hey Gregor, at Brandon MG. He spells it Brandon, D-E-N, just so you know. Follow us both if you would, and tweet at us, or talk to us, or leave us a review, or whatever it is. Now, Brandon, did you learn anything today? What did you learn today? It's that part of the show.
I learned that we're going to basically ruin the bees.
Yeah, no matter what we do, feels like it might already be a little too far down the road.
Gregor, what did you learn this week?
I learned that the thing that I learned 15 years ago is Chief Red Cloud was a indigenous leader of the Oglala Lakota tribe in 1891. Is when that was set up, and so not 1791, a mere few years after the Declaration of Independence. So. Anything else you got there, Brandon?
Yeah, I learned that of all of the technology that exists in Star Wars, like you could think of like the lightsabers, the deaths. I mean, even the Death Star from a technological standpoint is
dope.
Pretty incredible. Like, think about the, I already said lightsabers, all of like the Star Destroyer, like everything of all of the technology that exists across the universe in, the Star Wars universe, I suppose.
Yeah.
The thing that I want the most is apparently a gonk droid.
Or a mouse droid for your cat.
Or a mouse droid, yeah.
I remember reading this recently that you would need like 7 trillion tons of TNT in order to blow up the moon with a laser. So, like, the Death Star is even... That's the moon or small planet. That's, like, even more impressive than you could ever imagine. So.
Yeah, wow.
All right, well, I hope it shoots me first. Listen to Nerd Talk Tuesday mornings, 10 a.m. here on this platform, or by this platform, I mean the Odyssey app. I don't know why I said that. Or listen to us as a podcast, wherever you get your podcast, preferably the Odyssey app, because that's what my work tells me to say, because Brandon can say whatever he wants. They're not paying him. But
I think you should leave us a review and tell us why you're actually happy and not secretly miserable.
Or admit that you're secretly miserable and that I'm right.
You're my favorite aioli.